the interesting moment. That's a lie. I've no backup for that claim whatsoever. But you come on a media program like this, you have to say something positive like that. You have to say we have an absolutely fantastic show lined up for you. There's going to be all sorts of things happening, which may well be the case. I mean, who are you to say that nothing interesting is going to happen in the next half hour or so? And if it does, I can tell you I'll be recording it. In fact, maybe I should just keep recording for the next 4 or 5 hours, just in case something exciting happens. I do have things lined up for today, not for the show, but for my life today. I have things scheduled to happen. We've got a small dog is coming to stay with us for approximately 10 days. Now, let's say small dog. It's one of those toy breeds of dogs. The group of breeds of dogs known as toy dogs. It is, in fact, a real dog. It's a real toy dog. Not to be confused with a toy dog, which is a stuffed toy made in the image of a toy dog. We've been through that before in a previous episode, so I don't want to get too bogged down in the concept of toy dogs versus toy dogs. But there you go. It would be interesting if someday someone saw a toy dog, a stuffed toy dog, an inanimate toy dog, and decided maybe I should breed a new type of dog that's made to look like one of those stuffed toy dogs. And they'll create a new type of toy dog. But they won't be able to call it a toy dog because there's already a group of toy dog breeds there called toy dogs. But they're basing this dog not on those, but on the stuffed toy dog. It conjured up a type of dog that they decided to invent. So they probably got an Alsatian and a cat and bred them together and then bred it with something else, a snake or something, and just kept on reading through the generations until they got to an offspring that was close enough to what they wanted, and then they decided to just make two of those. They got the same. They got its parents to breed again, and they made a few of them, and they got those to breed together. Unfortunately, that's called inbreeding. So, if you ever go to create a dog like that, there's a good chance that it's going to have some sort of mental illness or disability, or some sort of growth problem, or some unfortunate problem like that. But of course, you're going to be a good parent to your pet because you're an animal lover, and you'll raise the animal with such confidence in itself and self-worth that it won't matter. It'll overcome its problems and it'll lead a full and long life, unless it gets run over by a car, in which case all your efforts will have gone to waste. You'll just wasted your time bringing up this toy dog, and then you'll have to go and get the dog stuffed, and then you'll have invented a new type of toy dog again, a stuffed toy dog. So it won't all be in vain, unless you have something against stuffed toy dogs and inventing new types of them. In which case, to you, it'll feel like it's being in vain. But that's a rather defeatist attitude. You can't go around being negative about everything like that. I mean, I could go around saying, I'm sitting here at the computer, I've got Google up on the screen, and nothing's happening, therefore Google is crap. Well, that's what you call a defeatist attitude. I haven't typed anything into Google. If I was to type, bright yellow warthog into Google, I'm doing that right now. And then just to be extra positive, I'll press the I'm feeling lucky button. Then something exciting will happen. See, I've brought good luck with my way. You can't just sit there waiting for it to happen. Now, what's come up is a site called Escape from the Warlord. Jack has a new friend who comes from a land far, far away and has many adventures to tell. Now, this is some sort of a children's workbook that's being put on the internet. Hopefully it's not a breach of copyright, because by me broadcasting the content, that could probably be a further breach of copyright. Now, it says here, it's copyright. Palmerstown District Primary School. I'm not going to click on that link to the school, because I don't want to be one of those weirdos who looks up schools on the internet that have no connection with his life whatsoever. So we'll go away from that page immediately. We're back to Google. Let's see what else we can search for. Let's attract some more good luck. customized modular modular phone Philistines. That's what we search for. Phone Philistines. I don't know if I've said, if I've spelt that right. So I won't do the I'm feeling lucky thing this time. In case I miss out on something through my bad spelling, I'll just do a regular Google search. And I did spell it incorrectly. So here we go. Here's the correct search. Let's see. We've got a customize your mobile phone. Let's go into that. Presumably you can customize your mobile phone in such a way that you can I don't know how you'd customize a mobile phone. Presumably make it work in different languages or something. Not like the phones on Star Trek that they have stuck to their lapels. You just tap your phone, you speak into it, and you can be talking to some guy who speaks solely in meows, but he'll still understand you because it'll translate him for you. Translate you for him. It's called a universal translator. But apparently that's not what they mean by this mobile phone thing. Apparently it's customizable by different colours and covers and all that sort of thing. And wallpapers. Apparently the young people like to put wallpaper on their phone. And my day we used to put wallpaper on our copybooks in school to protect them. They came with perfectly decent paper covers, but the teacher used to insist that you had to cover your books with either brown paper or wallpaper or plastic or contact paper. So we used to use wallpaper for some reason. We'd decorate it like a Christmas present, and then, my mother would do it for me, and then she'd hand the copybook back to me, and then I'd open it up and try to find somewhere to write inside it that wasn't covered with bloody wallpaper. It's no wonder I grew up obsessed with kitchens, which I didn't, but it's no wonder I did. It's a wonder that I didn't, is what I should say. As it happens, I don't think I am obsessed with kitchens, but you say that now, but here I am. I find myself sitting in the kitchen yet again, recording into your head. Last time I recorded almost all of that episode in the kitchen. The final closing segment was in the toilet, but there was a reason behind that. But I'm in the kitchen yet again now. In fact, I often record in the kitchen. If I'm not recording at the computer, most likely I'm recording in the kitchen. Does that make me obsessed with kitchens? I don't know. Maybe it does. It's not for me to say. You need the advice of an independent, qualified person on that. Someone who's not involved in any way in the show. Because you have to get an unbiased opinion on these sort of things. My opinion is biased, because I'm me. I'm involved in all this as a first party involved person. I'm involved by being me. I'm not a third party. So there you go, I suppose. That's fine, because we have a section on the website at intoyourhead.com/stalk called the Stalkers Forum, where you can go and stalk me to your heart's content. You can leave a message there in the Stalkers Forum or record an online voicemail. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking he's been going on about that online voicemail thing for at least the last 40 episodes, but no one ever uses it. No one bothers to go to intoyourhead.com/stalk, put their microphone on their head and press record and say something and then send it. So you might as well give up. That's what you're saying. Well, I'm not going to give up. I'm absolutely fine waiting for things to happen, waiting for them to blossom. If you go and plant a cherry tree in your front garden, as I did last year, you don't expect to have cherries a month later. You expect to have cherries 30 years later. and you have to be patient. That's not to say that you spend the next 30 years sitting in the garden watching the tree waiting for it to grow. No, you don't. You go off and do other things. And I'm perfectly happy to apply the cherry tree principle to the voicemail system at intoyourhead.com/talk. Eventually, in 30 years' time, after I'm dead, perhaps, people will come along and start posting things there. And I'll renew the website for 100 years or something to make sure it stays up so people can still comment. Or else I won't. I'll just transfer all the shows onto a CD and have them buried with me in my coffin. And that'll be the end of that. Because at least I can listen to them there in the afterlife, if there is one. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, Neil, if there is an afterlife, you're not going to be living in your coffin. You're going to float up somewhere or be transmitted to somewhere heavenly or hellly or somewhere like that. You're not going to just wake up and live in your coffin. Because most people who believe in the afterlife believe that you separate from your body. Well, I don't. I believe that my body will wake up in the coffin and start looking around and think, what's there to listen to here? I haven't figured out the whole afterlife yet, so I might as well sit here and listen to some podcasts, maybe listen to something that I achieved during my latest life, such as Into Your Head. So at that point, I'll be very glad to have some CDs with me, or perhaps an iPod loaded up with episodes of Into Your Head, some of the better episodes, I think. Maybe this one. Not show 77. Actually, maybe let's see what ones I want buried with me. I'll just go to the website here, intoyourhead.com, and I'll see which episodes I want to have buried with me on that CD. I'll probably need to be more than one CD because you can only fit about two episodes onto a CD. But let's see. I might have number 74. Definitely 72. Maybe 71, I'm not sure. Let's see, I'll have the paperclip special number 65, and I'll definitely have number 64 and 61, I suppose, because people stuff. I'll definitely want 60, but only because I like the album art, which is a picture of my cat Chili playing with her Rubik's Cube. I suppose it's not a bad episode as well. I can't remember. Anyway, those are the ones I want. So that'll probably be about four CDs that you'll have to put in a box and bury with me. And you'll have to listen to this one first. So I'll probably put this episode on CD somewhere prominent and label it Instructions for My Burial. And that'll help whoever's burying me. Presumably my great-grandchildren. Maybe I'll have a state funeral. There was a state funeral recently for President Hillary, former Irish president. Because apparently, if you're someone important and you die, the government comes along to your family and says, "Would you like a state funeral? We'll get all the minister for carrying heavy things will help carry your coffin, and we'll get a few other ministers as well. And you'll have the current president will come along and she'll say something nice. She'll say, 'Ah, he was a grand fella. He deserves a state funeral. He did loads of stuff. He made 872 episodes of Into Your Head. Some of them were excellent. I was a particular fan of that one with the picture of the cat holding a Rubik's Cube in the album art. That's not to say I ever listened to it, because I'm the Irish president and I'm supposed to be neutral on all matters of controversy. I'm just supposed to sign things into law or seek legal advice if I'm not sure whether I should sign them, and basically go around opening charity functions and that sort of thing. That's what the Irish president does. She's like the Queen except of England, except she's not in charge of England in any way, and she doesn't wear a crown ever, as far as we know. Maybe she has a hobby of wearing a crown in private, but that's nothing to do with her official functions. Maybe she wears a crown of thorns, some sort of a religious thing, or some sort of a self-discipline thing. But that's all speculation on my part. I'm speculating that the current president of Ireland wears a crown of thorns as a hobby in private. Maybe she wears it in public and puts a hat over it. But I don't think I've ever seen her wearing a particularly big hat. Well, the Queen of England wears a lot of hats. But that's, again, that's... That seems unlikely to be an indicator of anything. because she seems like a rather conservative lady. I don't think she'd be the type who goes around wearing crowns of thorns, unless she was punishing herself for something that unconservative that she had done that she was feeling very guilty about. But again, I think she'd probably just go to some confession. I don't know, do they have confessions in the Church of England, or the Protestant Church, or whatever she's a member of? I'm not sure. They probably do. Do you go along to some, the equivalent of a priest in her religion, and you say, I did some stuff today, and I'm very sorry, and I want to tell my God I'm sorry, and I want to ask him for his forgiveness. And then the priest, if he's had a bad day, or if he's just feeling like a bit of fun, he'll say, well, that's grand, but God says he doesn't forgive you, and he says you have to go and, well, you basically have to go and have a piss for yourself, and feck off. He says he's never going to forgive you. He says you've gone one too far, you can't just keep doing stuff and then come back and saying you're sorry and then do more stuff. So feck off, Queen. That's what the priest will say. I join you. Tremendously exciting moment. Apparently I just farted and never realised. The first I realised it was when my wife, who was sitting beside me on the sofa, leaned forward and made a disgusted noise, because apparently I had made a disgusting noise, and more specifically, a smell had accompanied it. Apparently when you make a noise, the sound waves travel out of your anus, and the smell travels with it, so you're basically pressing a smell out of your body, which can't be a bad thing if you're removing this toxic stuff from your body. I believe the expression that a lot of people use is better out than in, and I'm inclined to go along with it. It's better out than in. I certainly would never try to install noxious smelly gas into my anus. I always let it go the other way. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Neil, this is an upmarket podcast. It always has been up till now, anyway. But now here you are using the word anus and talking about farting as if it's some sort of highbrow subject, which is not. And you go around, you're basically dragging the whole thing down. You're going to ruin your feck wanky 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 wank. Now, this is another one of those outtakes that I've been having more of lately. I've decided my new policy is to leave them in. Well, it's basically an outtake that's left in occurs when I run a topic into the ground, I start talking about something and I run out of things to say about it, or I don't like the way it's going, so I grind to a halt. And that's what I did there. I ground to a halt. I'm like basically a horse that's approached a river and said, I'm not going to jump over that, especially not when I'm tugging a big vehicle full of coal after me, because I've attended a health and safety course. It was aimed at my owner, but I was there because he was told to bring his horse with him because he was learning all about health and safety in handling a horse. And of course, I'm the horse, so when we're travelling, I'm in front of him. I lead the way. Well, he tells me where to go, but I go first. So if there's a health hazard or a safety hazard ahead, I'm most likely to see it first, especially if it's straight ahead. Because the blinkers, I find, help me concentrate on the road ahead. In fact, I think all humans who drive cars should wear blinkers so they can stare dead straight ahead at the road in front of them. They could probably have some sort of little screens on the blinkers as well, and they could show television programs or movies on the screens, and that would be an extra little entertainment. I don't know. That probably doesn't make sense. It wouldn't help the concentration. But there you go. What do I know? I'm a horse. All I know is I've just ground to a halt because I've just approached a river and I'm being used as an analogy for a person making a podcast who starts talking about farting but then grinds to a halt because he runs the subject into the ground and doesn't know where he's going. Frankly, I find it offensive that I'm used as an analogy for that. I mean, I'm a perfectly respectable horse. Admittedly, I do fart. But that's because that's That's the equivalent of a car letting out fumes. Fuel is installed into me. I'm fed a shipload of hay every day, and I have to use up that fuel as I'm travelling. But that's part of my job. I'm serving a useful purpose. I'm transporting coal from there to here and from here to there. I'm an important part of the economy, well, of the 18th century anyway. So I'm allowed to fart. It's part of what I do. Your modern-day factories fart all the time. They let out noxious fumes into the air. Where party, when that happens, it's not considered disgusting. Someone doesn't go, "Oh, that factory farted. It's absolutely disgusting." For a party, there you go. What can you do? That's life as a horse.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's programme, visit the Stalkers Forum guestbook
and online voicemail system
at our website, intoyourhead.com, or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.